Sermon title today is I Want to Know Him. You've heard me say that your best years in the Lord are ahead of you. It does not matter if you're 8 or if you're 80. Your best years in Christ are in front of you. They are not behind you.
I proclaim to you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, the best is yet to come. Today we turn to the book of Malachi, and the name Malachi means messenger of God. Are you a messenger of God today? Are you pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you telling others that Jesus is going to return and that they need to be prepared? That on the prophetic calendar, as we look at it, the next thing on the prophetic calendar to take place, to be fulfilled, is the coming of the Lord Jesus. Everything else has been fulfilled. Malachi is speaking to people who were not living in expectation of Christ's arrival, the first advent, his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Are you living in expectation today of the second advent, his second coming? Saints, for those who are living in expectation, the best is yet to come. For those who do not believe, who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, judgment is on its way. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 today. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. In verse 16 it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them. As a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Which category do you fall in today? Do you fall in the category of an individual that is serving God or is not serving God? Books on judgment just don't sell very well in our society today. People want to hear about God's will being done in their life, how God meets their needs, that he is the way maker, that he's going to fulfill every need in your life that you possibly have. And you know, the Lord does all those things, but sometimes we as Christians, we can almost turn Jesus and we can turn the Lord into Santa Claus. All this is true, but our God is a righteous judge. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he prepared the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." He speaks of the coming at first of John the Baptist. There would be 400 years of silence between the book of Malachi and the New Testament. We can also say there would be 400 years of silence between this Old Testament prophet and the next Old Testament prophet to come. And even though it's in the New Testament, John the Baptist was classified as an Old Testament prophet. The final Old Testament prophet would be John the Baptist. But notice how Malachi shares in verse 1 about John. But he switches in verse 2. When you look at verse 1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." But the switch in verse 2 switches to Jesus' second coming. In verse 2 it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." Jesus is the righteous judge. Oh, we know him today as our Savior, but we will see him return as a righteous judge, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But he is coming back as our judge. The whole book of Malachi is about complacency. Today we have churches called New Life, The Way, Living Waters. But how many churches in America today have the name Just Getting By with Jesus? The Just Enough to Be Saved Church. Brother and sisters, for this church to do what the Lord wants it to accomplish, what the Lord wants to accomplish, we need kids, young adults, and seniors to be on fire for Jesus Christ. This could very well be the last chance for us to do something for the Lord before he returns. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, now we're going to come back to Malachi, but turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. In verse 9 it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that as the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, when we read verse 12 again, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This does not mean that you need to get saved over and over and over. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you're sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is your guarantee that you are a son or daughter of God. So what does this scripture mean? It means that it is pointing to the fact that you need to live your salvation experience out. And are you living your salvation experience out to where others can see? Living a life of faith and obedience for others to see that life of faith and that life of obedience in your life. That's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because of this awesome gift that we have been given. You have been given something that most of the world will never experience. And that's the presence of the Holy Spirit that is in your life, that's leading and guiding and directing your life because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Living with reverence and awe in the calling that is in your life of knowing Jesus. Now let's go back to Malachi. We go back to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi in chapter 3. In chapter 3, we go to verse 8. In verse 8, he says this, will a man rob God, but you rob me? But you say, in what way have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. You read that, there's probably been more tithing sermons preached off of that than anything else. And I read that today and you say, oh no, Pastor Leo, he's going to hit us up about money. And you know what? I don't believe that this church, if I went around this church, when was the last time I spoke about money? When was the last time I spoke about giving? You see, you are not my provider and you're not God's provider. God is our provider. He is the one that meets our needs. He's the one that meets our goals. But really, our giving, and this is what he's talking to them about. He says, this is what you're not doing, And I'm encouraging you, try me, see if it doesn't work. But he says, you're not doing this. And the reason that you're not doing this, it's a symptom of something else that's even much larger. You see, they had a bigger problem than they wouldn't put enough money in the offering plate. You see, the problem was that Malachi was pointing to, you're holding back, and it's something bigger than money. You're holding back reverence. You're holding back honor. You're holding back worship. You're holding back praise. And when you hold those things up, you know what happens? It shows up in the collection plate, because you're not giving yourself over to the Lord God. You're not putting your trust completely in Him. We need to look at giving totally different than how you look at giving today. Look at Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, it says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am the master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible? And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Basically, see how that works out for you. Wouldn't he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorability, says the Lord of hosts? Saints, quit thinking about giving money in dollars and cents. You got to stop thinking that way. But giving our tithe over in praise and worship. When the offering goes around, it is an opportunity for you to praise God. You're praising God because He has blessed you with abundance. You're praising God because He is your provider. The monies that you're putting in there is because you reverence and you are in awe of an awesome and mighty God. These people were not reverencing God, and because they were not reverencing God, that was a symptom they had. They were not giving. Jesus is worth everything I have. I wish I could give more than what I do give. If we turn to Philippians chapter 3 again, go back with me to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3 verse 7, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Jesus. Yet indeed I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. It goes on, he repeats that again. If you look at verse 9, and he found in him, having my own righteousness, which is the form of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that, what does he repeat again? That I may know him. Do you know him today? I mean, really, intimately know Jesus. So many in the church, it's just something they do. It's just something they do. I praise God for your faithfulness. I praise God for your giving and your faithfulness in your giving. You're an absolutely wonderful giving church, and I praise God for that. But are we at the point that we can say that I truly know Him? I know Him. If we can say that we read this from the Apostle Paul, and we did our study in CE today from the Apostle Paul, and how deep he was and how serious he was about his faith, if he is somebody that is saying, I want to know Him, every Christian in the world should be shouting, I want to know Him. I want to know Him more than I know Him today. I want to know Him tomorrow more than I know Him. I want to know Him next week more than I know Him this week. To know and grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many, and that's what the problem was in Malachi. They were just getting by. They were just getting by. I know enough about Jesus that's going to get me across the step in heaven. Well, that's not enough. He says for us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I want this church to start living its faith outside of these four walls. I want this church to be telling other people about Jesus. I want this church to be telling everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not about filling this church up. It's about filling the kingdom of God. We need to fill the kingdom of God while there's still time. He warned them then. Get ready. He's coming. Prepare the way. Be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we can shout the same words today. We need to be ready because he's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Amen. Do you know him? I remember a preacher years ago, he says, how important is Jesus to you? How important is Jesus? Is Jesus the most important thing in your life? Well, I can tell you, brother and sister, in my life, Jesus is the most important thing that I have. He's the most important thing in my life. And he'd always say this, he would say it in this way. He says, well, I'll show you what's important in your life. Just show me your checkbook. I'll show you what's important in your life. Show me your checkbook. Well, today, I could say, show me your cell phone. Because you'll show me what's important in your life. This is an old-time preacher. But if you showed me your cell phone today and I can't navigate a cell phone, can't hardly get through mine, half the time I have to have somebody else help me, either grandkids or my spiritual grandson, State, and he helps me with it. I get lost, I get mixed up, I can't do something. But if you could operate that thing, I could show you where your hearts are today, right here in this place. To know Jesus, church family, we've got to know him. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's just been bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. Because pornography in this world, in this United States, is a multi-billion dollar business. It can start out in the most innocent way. Everyone, I don't know how many people got Facebook here. I didn't even used to have Facebook. I didn't have Facebook because I didn't want Facebook. And I didn't have it because I didn't want to see all these other things going on. But I thought, well, you know, now we're starting a school. You know, I better update myself. And I better get on Facebook so I can see what the messages are, what's going on. And all of a sudden I go to Facebook, and all of a sudden here's this girl. She don't have enough clothes on. Her mom would be embarrassed by what she's got on. And all it wants you to do is click on it. We're a click away from going down a road in pornography that will strangle us because Satan wants to use it to destroy you. He doesn't want to give it to you to help you. He wants to destroy you. Guys, I want you to go home today. And if you're anywhere on a pornography page somewhere, I want you to delete it. I want you to say, I'm deleting this because I want to know Jesus. Amen. And I want to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. This is important to you, it's important to me. We don't hear about temperance in the world we live in anymore. The old temperance marches, we're going to get rid of alcohol, we're going to get rid of this, we're going to get rid of that. You could go in Des Moines and march all day long and you probably would not get one follower if you were walking for temperance for the body of Christ to live in a holy and righteous life. But the Lord is coming back to a church that is white, that is pure, that is chaste, for a church that is working out its salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. That is my soapbox today, isn't it? Father, we just rejoice in this your goodness so much. We thank you for the service, and we thank you for the presence of you that was here to meet us, and what you did in everybody's life, and what you're doing forevermore. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.